You're listening to EVH and Gear TV, brought to you by Design 39 Media. Visit design39media.com for all your website, photography, and video production needs. Microphones for EVH and Gear TV are provided by Rode Microphones, and official Van Halen merchandise is provided by VanHalenStore.com. And now, here's your host from Ontario, Canada, EVH artist Eric Broadbent.
Hey everyone, happy Sunday to you all. Welcome to the Helix Hour. We are live and joined today by a guest that's been in the works pretty much since I even had the notion of starting this show, Richie Castellano. The fans have been requesting you. I've wanted to have you. Richie, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on. This is a great show you do. I've seen a couple episodes and I really like what you're doing, and it's a great service to the people in our community. So kudos to you, man.
Thank you. I have to give a return, a compliment right back to you, because I have a small list of people that I really, I love a lot of things on YouTube, but there's a smaller kind of group or conglomeration of people that have really inspired me to do these kind of things. And you're up on the top register of that list. Like the things you do, the education that you give people, and I think maybe just more so even the passion that you have as well too. It's very infectious and contagious. So I want to thank you for that as well.
I really appreciate that. It's I learned from YouTube that if you try to like chase things that, oh, I think people would like to see this, that doesn't work. And what you have to do is, no, I like this.
Yeah.
So I'm sharing what I like. And because I get a lot of people asking me about YouTube, like, oh, I'm thinking about starting a YouTube channel. I think people would like, I said, no, you're already wrong. Mm-hmm. I said, do what you like. It's very important. This is not like, most people cannot make a career on YouTube. It's very rare. This is a thing you do for fun, period. That's it. So if it's not fun to you, what are you doing? And that's it. Like it's really any piece of gear, but the thing is the Helix, it's so deep but simple at the same time. If you're just a surface user, you can get a sound pretty quickly, but you can go down the rabbit hole with the Helix. And so that's a great topic for multiple videos. It's like, and also it's something that I learn from people watching, videos like, from you and Jason and a bunch of guys in our community. And I see things like, oh, I never thought of that. And then I learned something and it gives me a new idea for a technique. And it's like in terms of like content creation, the YouTube is like the gift. The Helix is the gift that keeps on giving.
I agree with that.
It's like you can keep, it's a piece of gear. I keep learning and finding new ways to use. And I mean, the stuff I'm doing now with it is very different from what I did when I first turned it on, when I first got it.
I'll bet. And we'll touch base on that tonight as well, too, this afternoon. And I think you nailed it when you said, when people say, I want to get into YouTube, I think people will like this. Yourself as a writer, composer, studio producer, engineer, that'd be like you saying, okay, I'm going to go in the studio and I think this would sound good if I made it sound like Pearl Jam. I think people would like it if I made it sound like Pearl Jam. You're doing yourself a real disservice because your music is not going to come out.
True. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Good point. Very good point. And another thing too, like if you want to into business, let's say you're going to open up, I think people like a cookie shop in my hometown. Well, I don't know how to cook. So maybe I should specialize in what I'm good at, whether it be, maybe you're a plumber, who cares what it is, do what you do, what you love. And it's not work. What it's like, what we do is work somewhat. It's hard work, but we love it so much. We're willing to take some sacrifices because we love it.
Yeah. I mean, content creation, takes a lot of time, and especially like I've tried to make the videos a little easier on me, but it never gets to that point. And it's like, for example, on my show we just did Close to the Edge by Yes. We did a cover and everybody goes, that's great, now do Awaken. And I'm like, do you realize how long this took me to mix this song? I'm thinking like it, because people, you can consume faster than you can create. Everybody does that.
That's right.
So it's just like when there is, when you make videos, you watch YouTube through a different lens. You know what I mean? Like when I see like one of your videos, I'm like, okay, yeah, it might be a live thing, but he probably had to do a lot of setup to get this to this point. A lot of testing, a lot of tweaking, a lot of research. So there's, I can see it, and I try never to leave negative comments on things, even if I don't like something. As I'm like, this person, they just spent weeks doing this. You know what I mean? It's like, and to just, dismiss it after watching something for 2 minutes, I can't do it.
I know.
If I don't like something, I'll just be like, okay, whatever, I don't like that. But I, you know, I, I can't spread the negativity because I have been on the side of content creation and I know it's grueling and it's, you have to love it.
This is something embarrassing, but I'll share something with you that you'll appreciate. You know, I spent an entire month of testing videos on YouTube, basically doing 1, 2, 3 hand clap, trying to sync up my camera.
And I did that.
Oh my God. And I found the nice sweet spot, 300 milliseconds. You and I are using the same cameras for the most part. So that's where I found the sweet spot. But literally a month of clapping my hands. I actually got a name. People like, oh, yeah, I can do the Eric Brodman hand clap or whatever. But hey, my audio's in sync now, so that's all that matters.
What, are you using something like OBS?
Using similar to that, yeah. But the thing is, you have to set the video off sync with the audio just to compensate for it.
Yeah, I do a... sometimes weekly live stream where I do like a performance down here. And to get that took me, I was doing that for 6 months preparing for it. And like, I had to keep it secret the whole time. I was just down here programming, you know, backing tracks and watching actually gamer videos.
Yep.
A lot of gamer videos.
That's the best,
to see
actually.
How like they did all this stuff. But the gamers are really up on this. So
yeah, I think they had it first.
Resource.
I think some of those, the big name gamers out there had it first. They were the first ones really taking this to the past the horsepower that they could. You know what I mean? And yeah, I think a lot of us learned from that.
It's funny to, when I do this sort of thing, to get messages from musicians saying, oh my God, how are you doing this? I'm like, gamers have been doing this for years, man. Like, we're really behind the curve on this stuff.
We're late to the party, that's for sure.
Yeah, so, but luckily they have all the tech involved, but, there's a guy I want to give a little plug to right now. He's on Twitch, and he was a huge inspiration to me. His name is Scene of Action Music. That's his Twitch channel. I think his name is Monty. But I was, you know, I'm a gamer. I was on Twitch one day just like messing around, and I said, oh, wow, a guy with a guitar. And I clicked on his video, and he did this completely unbelievable production. And I contacted him and asked him like a dozen questions, and he was very gracious with me and very patient and answered everything. And I basically, you know, I don't want to say ripped him off, but I took a lot of, I borrowed a lot of ideas from how he was implementing all this gamer technology.
That's cool. That's nice that he was able to share like that as well too. And I know it's, as you know as well too, everything you've put into your show, I've had people contact me and ask for things as well too. And I try to help as much as I can, but at the same time, it's like the Colonel's secret recipe, you know, the KFC recipe. You don't want to give all away your tricks, right?
But you know what? I'll tell you why I agree with you, but I'll tell you why I don't mind sharing it, because I know how much time it takes to do this.
It saves somebody a little bit of hassle.
Like, it's like, you want to do this? Go ahead. Like, once you see how much time it takes, you're not going to want to do it anymore. And if you are passionate enough to put the time in, then you should be doing this.
That's right.
That's how I feel about it. So like part of me, even like with presets that I make, I'm like, no, I have to hoard them. They're mine. But I'm like, you know what? Like what's somebody going to do with this? That, you know, it's like, what are you going to do with this preset that's going to really negatively affect what I'm doing? And I think about it for, I'm like, nothing. It's a nice thing to do. And the other thing I think about is every time that I ask someone else for help and they gave me help, you know, most people, especially like the nicer, cooler people in our, not even the Helix community, but the music community, they'll be like, oh yeah, I just did this. You know what I mean? And they won't. Think like it's the people who are very insecure about stuff who will be just like, no, I'm not telling you anything. This is my secret. And I'm not saying that's you. Like in general, I'm saying like when a person like you who knows how you have to do this for weeks and how you have to just watch back and say, oh, screw that up. Oh, that didn't work. Now I have to buy another piece of equipment to fix this problem. That's the other thing, is the expense. It's you think, okay, I have a webcam and I have a computer
and a
microphone. I'm good to go, because that's what you see on the screen. But you know, you yourself, you just told me you have two computers running this because you have to. I have two computers down here running my stream. You know, I have a computer just for lights. I have my music computer and I have a backup computer down there for when one of them dies. So it's like, it's the expense, it's the time, there's a lot of different things going at work here. And that's why I'm just like, you know what, here's the info. And every like big revelation or aha moment I ever had in my life came from another musician like showing me what's up. So I have to pass it on. I have to share the knowledge.
That's one of the things I find in the Helix community is one of the greatest. I mean, there's great communities out there, you know, if you're into, you know, brand X guitar or brand X amplifier or whatever the case may be. And I've had good and bad experiences in all of those. And I've even had some negative experiences in the Helix community, but very, very minor. I mean, so minor, they're minuscule. But this little things like, you know, Eric Klein one time, he was just watching one of my shows and he commented, he forgot he even commented. But remember, it's in the global settings to turn off the real time, like something like tap tempo or something, or I forget what it is, but for the delay. So let's say on a snapshot, I've got 250 millisecond delay on snapshot one. Snapshot two, I've got like 500 and something, so a big jump. And if you don't change off that transparency, whatever it is, I forget the term for it, it'll ramp up. So your delay zoom, and it'll come up like that. And I don't like that. I really don't. I want it to be 250 there and 500 over here when I'm ready to go.
Right, and no transition.
Yeah, and he commented in the chat, and I was like, do you know how valuable that was? Like, I felt like I should have paid him for it because it was just such a valuable tip. And I get questioned all the time, like with people in the real world of pedals and things like that. Should I put my flanger here? Should I run my chorus in the loop? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm the first person to jump in there and say, I'm not saying this is the right way. Try this. And they write back to me, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And it does feel good when you can pass on some information that really is not rocket science.
Now, I want to contradict myself right now too, because there are things I won't share,
right?
And it's not a hoarding thing. It's I know this is not going to work when I share it. And for example, like I have some pedals in my loops, and they're a big part of some of my presets. And so people go, hey, can you share this particular sound? I'm like, no, because when you get it, it's going to sound nothing like that. I have a pedal that you don't have.
That's right.
Or I have an impulse response that you don't have. And that it's like, for example, I had this one problem. My earlier presets that I posted all use this particular own hammer impulse IR. Response that he doesn't make anymore. And he doesn't offer it. There's a legal reason he can't offer it. So what happened is everybody started emailing me like, what the hell, man? You know, I can't get this. So I had to go through like the entire own hammer library and find one that was close to remedy that. So now I'm just like, okay, I have to be careful of that. And then the other thing is guitars. I have some oddball guitars here. Like, for example, I have that Brian May guitar over there. That guitar doesn't sound like any other guitar. So if I were to post a Brian May preset that uses that guitar and someone plugged their Les Paul into it, they'll give my preset a 1-star rating.
Of course.
It's not going to sound like it. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to deal with that. I'm not even going to deal with the YouTube comments of, hey, I downloaded this thing. It sucks. I'm like, well, you know, so there's certain sounds I'll share where I can pick up a Strat or a Les Paul and it's still close. And those are the ones I'm okay with sharing. The ones where you're going to download it and then you're going to have problems. Like, I don't want to give people problems when they download the thing. I want to say, here it is, it's done.
That's right.
Or here it is, here's the link to the IR where you can go buy it for $10. You know, done. There you go. That's what I really want to happen.
I've been an advocate of telling people, what I'd say is when you go to Custom Tone, you start downloading, even if it's a preset that you've downloaded that's got a 1-star review or no reviews, don't be scared off by that. Or don't necessarily think a 5-star review is going to be the end all be all either. Because number one, like you said, we don't know what they use for a guitar. We don't know if they're using headphones or little laptop speakers, you know, for mixing. We don't know what they're doing. And if there's any additional things like IRs or things like that as well, too. So I think there's good in everything. Even if it's a kind of a crappy sound, they might have a delay that you never thought about using. Like you
or routing you never thought about or a trick. Yeah,
exactly. They might have done it by accident. Like I'm still a guy where I think I'm still considered a Helix novice where I don't know routing as well as I should. And I might do some things you might look at and say, Eric, why would you do that? And I'd be like, I didn't know any better. You know what I mean? Or something like that. But it works. It may work. And so you're like, okay, we can learn something from even the worst patch out there. So don't be discouraged by one with a bad review, and don't think it's going to be the end all be all if it has a perfect review. Download, use your ears before you use your eyes and read what people say.
I'll tell you though, and here's something I'm embarrassed to admit. I get a little offended when I see like a 2-star next to my preset. I'm like, you don't get this preset? It's awesome. Come on. The Variax, I think, makes it easier because you can actually have the exact same sound as somebody else.
True.
But all the guitar differences, and not only the guitar differences, we're not even talking about, because we're, you know, you and I are gearheads. Mm-hmm. We're into this stuff. the biggest difference is the fingers.
Yes.
That's the biggest difference.
For sure.
If you, you know, like, you, I know you're a big Van Halen fan. Eddie Van Halen's going to sound like Eddie Van Halen no matter what he uses.
Pig That's nose, anything.
That's the secret. He could plug into anybody's rig, turn all the knobs up, and sound like Eddie Van Halen. And it the gear, all the branding is almost like silly because it's like you're never going to sound like him.
That's right.
It's him. He's the guy. This is it. You know, same. It's every guitar player. So, you know, a lot of people, they get frustrated, and it's like, okay, this is, like you just said, this is meant to help you skip a few steps.
Mm-hmm.
You're not gonna download someone's tone, someone's fingers.
You and go know play. I mean? No, and download a preset and go play that night. It doesn't happen that quickly.
Oh no, no. And here's another thing that a lot of people that you know talk to me about. Like a friend of mine just got Native, and he's freaking out over it. He absolutely loves it.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, well, he's freaking out about it now. He said, you know, I got it. I don't know if I like it. You know, the presets. And I said to him, you know, I've never listened to any of the presets. I've had the thing for years now. I never even thought to listen to them. I got it. I went right to the user bank and just started making tones. I said I don't know what guitar they used. I don't know what they were thinking. And then you have to see the title and say, oh, I guess I'm supposed to play Master of Puppets on this, you know, or whatever it is. Mm. That whole, like, I understand that you have to make presets. You know, I understand that people, that I'm the minority here when it comes to the standard user of the Helix. Most guys want to plug it in and get a sound immediately. I'm like, you know what? Like, I'm sure they're great. I'm not interested. Show me what I can do. Mm-hmm. I want to make my sound on it. I want to tweak it till my guitar sounds good. I don't care about what guitar they made the preset with. And, you know, a lot of people are like, what? So my friend who just got Native, he's like, oh, but you know, some of these I'm like, I'm sure they're great. I said, but I need a tool that's gonna make me create the guitar sound I need. Period. I don't like the presets, I can't be bothered with them. I can't worry about, you know, I need the pedals to be laid out the way I need it to be laid out. I need the workflow to be laid out. It's got to be customized. It's very, and luckily, out of all the modelers, this is the easiest one to program, hands down.
I was going to say, the user interface is so inviting. That's one of the major mm-hmm. sellers, I think, of it.
Did you come from the Pod?
I had a Pod way back in the day, way back, very first one. And then that was my last kind of ditched attempt at modeling. I went out of that forever. And then where I came back in after many, many years of tube amps was Bias, a Positive Grid. And so that got me kind of feeling comfortable, actually very comfortable with digital, mm-hmm. you know, and I got to give credit where credit's due. Those guys kind of started me on the right path. Then coming into Helix, which was an accidental discovery, and I'm here locked in for life now.
Yeah. I mean, I think I get asked this question a lot, and I'm sure you do too. It's, okay, what's the best one? Is it Helix? Is it Kemper, Axe FX, Bias? Which one is it? Is it Head Rush? And everybody asks, you know, which one's the best? And here's my very political answer that I give to everybody. I say, they're all great now. I said, we finally got to that point that we've been waiting to get to, where the modelers are doing the job.
That's
and
right.
They're doing them sufficiently, and in some cases, more than sufficiently. I said, they're all going to sound good. It's really up to you. And which one you respond to, which one you get around the easiest on, which one is giving you the response that you want when you play it. Like when you call up a certain sound, is that the sound you were expecting to hear? You know, that's the ones you should get. For me, the choice was kind of made for me because I play with Blue Oyster Cult, and I've been playing with them for 14 years. And what happened was I used to have a TC Electronic Nova system. Are you familiar with
yes.
that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great little pedal. It's like about this big, and it has just effects on it. It's great. So I was using that in the loop of Mesa dual rectifiers because that's what we were able to get on the road. We use all rental gear.
Mm-hmm.
We very rarely use our own gear. So I had that, and about – I'd say 75% of the gigs I had terrible backline amps, just like poorly maintained, just didn't sound good, broken, you know, and it would be like, you know, I was like you. I'm a tube amp guy. I have a very nice collection of tube amps. You know what I mean? And my dad's a tube amp guy, and he has a nice collection of tube amps. So I was like raised on tube amps. Even like my father, it's funny because my father thinks like, you know, a Fender Deluxe or a Vibreverb, that's the sound. And, you know, for me, it's like, no, you need like an Engl or a VHT or something like that with gain. And he used to, you know, say, okay, yes, because you're a cheese ball and you need all the distortion. I said, well, yes, I do. Yeah. And yes, I am. So, but we both agreed that the tubes were the magic that you needed. And I had like that very common attitude that a lot of purists and guitarists have towards digital gear. You know, like, oh, it's crap. Mm-hmm. Like, I need tubes. I have to have tubes. And so I was in this predicament where it was like, okay, I want tubes. I can't use my beautiful Engl amp on these gigs because they're fly out gigs. We don't have a truck. We're doing, you know, backline rentals. And, I said, now I have a real dilemma here. So what I did was I just on a whim bought an HD 500. And I'll be honest, I did not like it. I was the guy that I deal with trolling me on YouTube.
Oh, geez.
I was the guy. So when I see those comments, like, I was like, I was you. You know what I mean? Like, I understand those people. So what I did was I really worked with it. I said, you know, no, I'm not. I tried the presets and all stuff. I said, no, forget the presets. I worked with it. And I figured out the thing that I didn't love about the pod. I liked it. What I didn't love about it were some of the cab models. Okay. I wasn't really too big of a fan. So what I ended up doing is I found this company called Matrix Amplification in England.
Yeah, know of them.
And they make a one rack space unit that's like 1,000 watts and weighs like 8 pounds.
Nice.
So I was able, it was light enough to travel with. I had the pod and that. And I would just go into the rental Marshall 412, and that was it. That was the sound. And I said, okay, great. We're done. The Helix came out, and part of me was just like, oh, my God, it's so expensive. Because you think about what the HD 500 cost. Mm-hmm. But that was the other problem, because when I started using the HD 500, people were like, oh, why are you using this like $500 piece of gear? Like, that can't be good. I'm saying, but it is good. I said, and I have a better sound consistently than I used to have, you know, when I was using busted backline heads. I said, my sound is improved because of it. Like, what are you talking about? Like, well, it can't be good because it's so cheap. And I'm like, that's a good thing. I said, think about that. If I'm on the road and, you know, someone spills a beer on my pod and it's dead, I can go to the local music store, take one off the shelf, plug a laptop into it, and be back up by the gig by the next night.
Yep.
So I said, that's a great thing. That's a really cool ability to have. But then when the Helix came out and I saw the price tag, I'm like, oh man. So, but I bit the bullet and I bought one. And the thing I immediately liked about it was the impulse responses. Mm-hmm. The cabinets are very good, and there's a few cabinets in the Helix that I like a lot, but the impulse responses, that I was basically able to find a cabinet that Onehammer makes that sounded very similar to my Engl cab and my VHT cabs, that was really special to me. And that's when I was like, okay, we're on another level now. I ditched the Matrix amp. I still have it. I don't bring it out anymore. I stopped using a cabinet. I go direct into the PA. I have a little powered speaker on the stage just for some, you know, just to move the legs, the pants a little bit.
Yep.
And that's about it. And the other weird thing that happened, and I think that's like kind of genius on line six's part, is the price tag actually made people take it seriously.
That's right. That's a good point.
Yeah. This, like, okay, now we're, you know, up in the price tag with the Kempers and the Axe FX and all that stuff. Like, and so, okay, let me see what they're doing. And now it's like the price tag matches the quality. And it's like, that's almost like a silly thing to say. But then eventually they came out with, you know, now we have the Stomp. Mm-hmm. Now we have the LT. So that now it's like they're back to whatever your budget is, you can get into this. And also native, which is pretty awesome. Like, you can play a gig on a laptop if you have to. That's great. So, you know, I was a little late to the Helix party, but I'm – I'm in now. I'm all about it.
Well, the good thing is,
and also, sorry to cut you off. Okay. Also, I started using the Variax with the pod. So the fact that the Helix still had the Variax connection, that was a done deal for me.
For sure. Well, I think the community is blessed to actually have you find Helix, because had you not, I mean, there's other great players in the community here as well, like the Jason Sudeikis, as you mentioned earlier, yeah. And there's a lot of great people out there making presets, but you've contributed a lot, and there's been a lot of people, including myself, benefited from you from some of these presets, and we've got one of yours we're going to give away later today, and we'll talk about it, but yeah. It's very cool, the fact that you found it, and you're offering a lot back, which is good as well, too. Let's jump over and say hi to a bunch of people real quick. There have been a lot of people giving some comments and questions, and we're going to come back before we dive even further into Helix. I want to talk about your obsession and endorsing of Ernie Ball guitars. I want to ask you a little Van Halen related question in a moment.
Okay.
So we got Ralph Niederlander Jr. over here. He's doing a Christmas show, so we can't catch the whole thing. Shekius is here. Leanne Moen is here. Mississippi Treasure Hunter. Vinny T. XLR8 Wales. I only have an hour, so no running overtime. And I told him that we run a tight ship here, so we won't be over an hour unless all goes crazy. Nocturnal Butterfly is running the chat as efficient as always, and she's going to be posting your links throughout the program. Steph Lindman Media, good evening from Sweden. Thank you for tuning in. Alan Haller, hello all. Fred Siegel, saying hi to Richie and everyone. Shekius, JD Gonzalez, I think from over in Venezuela. Nice to have you. Carlos Santin, my Canadian brother, who is a freshly converted Helix user. He was a tube guy forever, and he's absolutely loving it. Started with HX Effects and then got a good deal on a Helix, went into Helix. And he's actually doing a series of videos now for people just beginning, like himself, kind of, and sharing what he's learning as he's learning it, which is great. Love it.
That's right, dude.
Yeah, that's right. Todd, a.k.a. Soda Pop. Let me see here. We've got our first link for you, your YouTube channel, so please check out the channel if you haven't, folks. Let me see here. Ralph is here briefly. Todd, Keith, Soda Pop. I think there's a old metal dude is here. Awesome. Thanks, Eric, for having Richie. Love his content on the Helix. I've learned a lot on this channel. Thanks, Richie. Let me see here. I think someone was bringing up a cowbell comment. I'm sure you get that once in a while.
Yeah.
like Chris Farley when he's interviewing Paul McCartney. Hey, remember when you're in the Beatles? That was cool, eh?
Yeah. I played a gig last night and someone came up to me. I was like, do you fear the Reaper?
Oh, jeez.
Like, really, man?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. I get it with mustache comments. It's like, dude.
Well, you have a pretty epic mustache, man.
Thank you. People are like, you know, you look like Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap. I'm like, you know, I haven't heard that for at least 17 minutes. You know what I mean? Thank you. And Carlos also saying, you taught me a lot about Helix. Thank you. Keep the videos coming. Fred says the Band Geek cover of CTTE is incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah, awesome. Alan Haller here. Hello from Detroit. Don't fear the beaver. Don't fear the... Ah, there you go. Canadians. Let me see here. Daryl McMillan, Richie's version of... And I lost it. I scroll too fast. I hate it when that happens. let's find that again. Richie's videos. Okay, that's from Daryl. I've been very helpful to me, and I love the Band Geek stuff in the live streams. For sure. Let's take just a sideways note for a second. That's so cool these days with the technology that we have, because some people, you know, they don't have venues in their area. Maybe they're kind of homebridden. Maybe they have some things that prohibit them from going out to see shows. What we can do now with technology and what you're doing, you host a live show. You do requests. Let's talk about that for a second. That was a question I had later in the program. Tell us how you got into that and what it kind of offers you now to entertain people on the fly, just as if you're in a club, but you're in your studio.
I thought, I like to say I tour with Blue Oyster Cult. I fly like, you know, 3-4 times a week. So when I'm home, I hate leaving my house. Like when I get home, just, I don't want to leave. But you know, I'm a musician. I like to play just like everybody else. I like to, you know, go out and do a gig. Especially like locally, that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But the music scene where I live has sort of deteriorated, and as it has in many places. And it's just got to the point where I was like, okay, I don't want to go out to a bar. I don't drink. I'm not into the bar. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go, you know, chase down a bar owner at the end of a night to try to get paid for me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And all the people who I have to beg to come see me, they don't like going to the bar. And I thought, if I don't like going to the bar, you don't like going to the bar, and the bar doesn't pay me, why are we going to the bar? why, like, let's, how do we remove the bar from this?
Or bring the bar to us.
Yeah. I said, we don't need the bar. I just looked at it like a math problem. Mm-hmm. Or like a logic problem. I said, I hate going there and you hate going there, but yet we go there because we have to. I said, how can we not go there? I thought, you know what? I saw people doing Facebook Live, people doing this. I said, how do I do a gig on a live stream? How do I do a gig? And it was hard because it's really difficult to translate your sound to a live stream. You almost need a sound engineer in a truck outside your house.
You do.
To really do that properly. Like I said earlier, I invested a lot of time into that. I spent 6 months just developing the skills to do that and the tech and all that stuff. And a lot of this is custom made. Like I have auto hotkey scripts that I wrote. I had to learn like a scripting language to make my computer do the right things in between songs to switch everything. So I don't have to sit there and go, hold on a second, guys, yeah, and just buttons. Switch everything on my computer.
Yep.
Like I that's all automated now. And it's not like something that I wish there was something you could buy. Like that's probably a great idea, actually, like a turnkey live streaming solution. But
for musicians,
there is nothing like that. So everything that I'm doing has to be invented. And I'm not saying like I invented the webcam.
No.
I'm saying I invented the method. And the guy I mentioned before, Scene of Action, he does it a different way. And I basically looked at what he was doing and was like, well, I don't need all that. Mm-hmm. I just need a little bit. But what happens is you start adding and adding and adding and going crazy. Now I have like a light show behind me when I play. It's ridiculous. But that's how I started doing it. And I broadcast it on Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook at the same time just because a lot of the people who follow what I'm doing, they're on Facebook and they're not too like YouTube savvy.
Right.
I was having a lot of trouble early on with that. As people was like, okay, I don't understand how to get into you. I was like, you know what? I'm going to make it easier for you. It's going to be on Facebook also. It's more difficult for me because I have to, you know, figure out a way to aggregate the chats from three different streams. But we figured out ways around that. But yeah, so that's what we do. It's this gig, and it's not only a gig. It's a Q&A. It's a hang. It's a heckle fest. I get trolled, and I have a pretty thick skin and a good sense of humor about it. So when people troll me, it's funny. I'll accept it. And that's what it is. It's a lot of guys just come on and say, hey, what amp are you using in that preset? And that's the kind of stuff we talk about. It's fun for me because I get to fulfill that sort of, you know, that sort of itch to play. And also people who just get home from work or something and they're like, I don't want to go out to a club now. You know what I mean? It's like they could just sit on their couch, pull up YouTube on their television, and it's like they have a free customized rock show in their house. And that was the other thing. The requests is fun. What I had to start doing is putting a list up on the screen because people would request wacky stuff.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of songs, but I would try to play everything, and then from a quality standpoint, it was like Name That Tune or me trying to it was like stump the jukebox kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this is like a fun little stupid trick I can do, but it's not that entertaining. So
yeah.
I tweaked it a lot. If I go back and watch the first stream I did this, it's embarrassingly bad. But you know, it got better, and the nice thing about it was everybody who watched, I don't have like a ton of people who watch, it's just like a loyal, like maybe 100 people that come every week, but they were really helpful to me. They were giving me really great feedback. They said, the sync is a little off when you talk. I said, oh, I got to fix that. Oh, you know, we can't see you enough. Mm-hmm. Can you raise the ambient lighting? Or, you know, or this sounds, your voice sounds muffled. And like, so we together, we tweak the show. And it's almost like a collaborative show now. If I just were to go on and no one watched, it would be stupid. I'd just be playing for the sake of playing. But like, we create the show together. They shape the set list. They direct the show. And they're absolutely directing it. They're telling me, you got to fix this, you got to do that. You know, your voice could be wet. And the thing is, I can't hear it while I'm playing.
No, I know.
So they're mixing the show. They tell me, and I trust them, because I also have learned to respect that the people who come to my YouTube channel already know what they're talking about. Like, they wouldn't be there if they didn't know what they were talking. There's a certain kind of viewer that I get, that they know their stuff. So it's like, you know, why wouldn't I trust this person? Like, they're not sabotaging my mix. They're trying to hear it better, experience it better. So
I had the same thing happen as well. I had people, for the first little while I was doing some private streams, you know, to send a few links to some people just to watch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're trying to get the audio synced, like I was talking about, and just all kinds of different things. How's the tone? Is it too loud, too soft, whatever? And they were kind of like the beta testers. Mm-hmm. And these are people that have gone back to kind of the onset of the starting of my channel. So, I mean, I value that more than anything. And like you as well, too, the people that come here are somewhat, you know, they're pretty savvy, computer savvy or music savvy. And it helps tremendously. But I really liked the way when you talked about when you broadcast or restream to different platforms. Mm-hmm. It was a kind of a term we used back in radio. When I quit radio, I worked in the tech side of radio. I was just the web guy doing all the websites and ads and stuff. But there was a term we used. It was called hit them where they are. Now, radio was just starting to change from traditional radio FM on your dial, whatever, to now streaming. And then on apps, you can turn into any radio station. You know, it's common now, but it certainly wasn't when I was in radio. It was just becoming that. And you're kind of, you're, I don't know, a person is egotistical if you're just going to say, I'm only going to give it to you here. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Now, even though I'm using YouTube as my predominant format, I do Facebook Live a little bit, not to the point that you do. And if I do it, it's strictly on, I don't usually do a multiple platform, but your advantage is that you hit them where they are. You know, mm-hmm. whether that's Twitch, maybe that's a younger generation that loves Twitch. Maybe it's someone who's strictly Facebook, doesn't even have a YouTube account. So that's awesome. You hit them where they are, and that in turn brings the audience.
Believe me, I would rather do it on just YouTube.
Sure.
Because YouTube is set up for this better.
It is.
It works better. It's just whenever I tried it, you know, too many people are going, oh, I can't figure out how to make my chat come on the screen or something like that. I said, well, okay. And then I had to really struggle with getting that to work, because it's also like, you know, if these are the people that are interested in coming to the stream every week, like, you're right, I got to figure out how to deliver it to them. Even though it would be much, much, much easier for me to do it just on YouTube.
Yeah.
And look, I like YouTube. YouTube's been very good for me. So I'm pretty loyal to YouTube, but if it makes it easier for the people who want to come hang out at the show, then fine. It's worth it then.
Yep. And we all need to get out of our comfort zones. I'm a comfortable zone in YouTube as well too. Just like anything, using a different piece of gear, whatever, sometimes getting out of your comfort zone in broadcasting can be a benefit to you as well too. It sharpens the chops and gets you out to a wider audience too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm going to mention one more comment, and I can't even believe how fast the time is going by. Nick Rush.
Because I talk too much.
No, that's good. No, that's good. That's a talk show. That's what it's all about. do you know, are you familiar with Nick Rush over in South Africa? Nick is a Line 6 Yamaha artist over there. I had him on the show a while back, an absolutely amazing player. He was on just a while ago on the mm-hmm. show here, and he says, hey, Eric, good to be watching again. Been crazy busy with gigs. Greetings from South Africa, Richie. Look him up, and you'll be sending me an email thanking me after. He's amazing.
Okay, I will.
Great player.
Yes.
So, in a few minutes here, we're going to post a link to download your preset. So I'm going to switch over to your camera, and you can just take us through whatever you like. There's nothing, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but...
Oh, the preset. Okay,
yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here.
And you can also play some other stuff other than that preset as well, too. I just show our viewers some chops and what you got there. You can take your time.
So the preset, where the hell did I put it? The preset is... because I'm talking to my Canadian friend, I decided to give you a Rush preset today. So... So on the stream, I do Free Will, and this is a preset that I made with actually did on a live stream. And the idea behind this is it's one of those try to play distorted but play chords,
right?
And that's a big part of Rush's sound. So, you know, a chord like this, and if you notice, it's distorted, but you hear all the notes.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I might be able to even do a screen share with you and talk you through the actual preset. Let's see if I can be fancy enough to do that.
Sure.
Screen share. Oh, there it is. You seeing it?
Yes. Got it.
Look how fancy we are.
Anyway,
so here's what's going on in this preset. The first thing we have is a volume block. Now, this is what I put in a preset to adjust for different guitars. And now if you have a guitar that's significantly lower output than this, you can just bump this up, turn this on, and this will compensate for it. But since I'm using the Variax right now, it's pretty, and I'm just using the magnetic pickups on the Variax. Oh, these are different pickups. I'll talk about that in a bit. Okay, now, when you download this, the first thing you're going to see on the pedal board is I have something called OCD fixed wah, right?
Yeah.
Now, if you'll notice, that turns on the wah and the compulsive drive at the same time. It's sort of to give me that like mid-range fixed Q sort of boost there.
Okay.
And you have the So that gives you that kind of vowel-y sound. Okay.
Got
now
it.
The next thing, we have the chorus, which pretty much stays on. That's just a regular chorus. I also gave you guys a flange to play with, you know. We have a delay in this. Now, this delay is something that Eric and I were talking about that we both hate, but I did it for this anyway. This is a delay that goes straight into the amp because it gives it like a dirtier, weirder sound, you know. See how it sort of gets like crushed. So if you really hate that, you can always just move this block after the amp, but for this it kind of works.
It does.
See how it's like blooming almost? It's kind of weird sounding. I like it. This also has a Minotaur that just stays on.
Nice.
So in just like the clean, you know, because without the Minotaur, it sounds really weird. It just gives it like a little more mid-range or something. I just like having it on a feel. I think the Minotaur, most of the time when I use it, is for a feel thing. It just makes the guitar feel better, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it does. It does.
So for the amp on this one, I'm using the Whowatt. And here are the settings right here. I do this on a lot of my presets. I put the Cali graphic EQ between the amp and the cabinet, and that's because a lot of the amps that I use have that sort of, you know, five band slider EQ that go between the preamp and power amp section. So this is sort of to replicate that. Now I originally made this with one of my favorite Onehammer IRs, but I figured for the sake of ease, I'll put a stock cabin here, and this is a 412 double XL. This is the closest I've been able to get to the Onehammer IR that I like. So, and it's with the ribbon mic here, so that works pretty well. And here is at the end of the preset is just a, oh no, I skipped something here. Right, the double take. I have a double take on there just to fatten it up a little bit. At the very end of the preset, I have a tile reverb. What this is good for is creating a little bit of depth. You can barely hear that it's on. But it basically, if you're a guy who plays with in-ears or something, this helps you to give you a little more space where it doesn't sound like someone's plugging a direct guitar signal into your brain.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, I have a parametric EQ, which I generally use almost like a mixing engineer. When I'm done with the whole sound, I get the sound as, you know, the way I want it, and then I say, okay, if I were mixing this into a track, what would I do to this sound as a mix engineer? And so this is the EQ I came up with. Now, I could go back and adjust the amp a little bit, but I find like when you start messing with the amp tone controls, you're just the response changes a little bit. So for me, I'm really, really happy that that Line 6 decided to put this studio quality EQ that I'm very used to using from doing my mixes. I'm really happy they put that in there because it really helps me out. It's like a little bit of finishing polish on the sounds. So that's really it. And so if you are in a band that plays Free Will or you just want to rock out at home, this will get you there. This is what I use on my live stream when I do Free Will. There's one thing in here that might confuse you. And for example, I'll show you what I mean. Like if I go to this compulsive drive, I have I might have some bypasses on. No, I think I changed them. Okay, good. I'm saying I might have some bypasses on some MIDI control here.
Okay.
But that's because the way I use it is Pro Tools plays my backing tracks and it switches all the effects and presets on the Helix for me while I'm playing.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so I don't have to do anything.
That's cool.
I love doing that.
I see two things that you do that are that remind me totally of Jason Sedite. So you guys come from the same school of, obviously you have engineering background, but number one, the fact that using ribbon mics, and Jason's trying to get me to use ribbon mics more, and he does a very good job of them, and it's a way outside my comfort zone. I've never even used a real ribbon mic. So I want to learn that. I want to get comfortable with that. And the fact that you're EQing post amplifier, I find, even though I don't know the real mechanics of that, I know the theory of it. I agree with you too. Fooling with the amplifier almost creates a cascading catastrophe, a domino effect. Something crappy yes. here, now it just puts crap all the way through your chain. Kind of set it maybe kind of like you just go grab an amp, and I like my mids up a little bit, so I'll crank my mids, and that's about all I'll do. Then I'll do some EQing and some compression towards the end, but that's awesome as well. There was so several people saying thank you for showing us that, for sure. And there was a couple questions where people were asking if we could use this preset on Stomp, and the answer to is kind of no and yes. When I say no, well, Stomp is limited to 6 blocks, but here again, just like downloading someone's preset off the internet and you don't like anything, but you like the delay. In this case, maybe someone likes your flanger. Copy it. Once you have your Helix open and Stomp open, or if you just have Stomp, download this and bring it in, and it's gonna overload it. You're gonna have to delete some blocks.
Yeah.
But you know, they like the flanger, copy your flanger. They like your delay, copy your delay. So there are some things you can use.
Yeah. If I were to make this a Stomp preset, mm-hmm. you could probably do amp cab and get rid of that
IR.
That IR. You can, so amp cab, get rid of the EQ between it. So forget that. And then you would have to actually use the amp controls to get you there closer.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not doing anything crazy, you know, or drastic with that EQ that you couldn't really live without. Maybe one chorus instead of all three modulations, maybe one modulation, just pick one you like. And the distortion. I think you could do it if you would be willing to start selective, like, you know what? I'll do it right now.
Okay.
I'll do it right now.
That's great.
Let's do it. Let's do it in real time.
Okay.
And put my money where my mouth is.
Yeah, we'll make an imaginary Stomp preset.
Okay, so what am I using here? I'm using, okay, ribbon mic. All right, let's see if we can do that. So let's kill this. Let's get rid of this. Let's switch this to amp cab. Who what? And we can change this to the XXL here with the ribbon mic. That sounds pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the EQ, it's like, if you see from the EQ, I'm only doing maybe a couple decibels in either direction. So what I might have to do is maybe tweak the amp a little bit. Okay, so we killed that EQ, and the Stomp is 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 6. So, interesting challenge, you guys. We don't need this block because you're going to have it set for whatever your guitar is. So clear that. Good. I guess I'll kill my Minotaur, even though I love it.
I know.
This is going to hurt me.
It's like selling pedals, right?
Yeah, see?
It makes a big difference.
Yeah. Okay, let's keep the Minotaur. All right, let's take the double take off.
Yep.
Because I have that and the chorus, so let's kill that. Oh, that does it. That's such a huge difference. Wow.
I know. Remind me to ask you a question about that double take after, too.
Let's, all right, you know what? I'm going to kill the chorus.
Okay, yeah, I can get away with that.
And I'm going to make the double take a little more crazy.
Okay.
So there we go. We're not really missing the chorus.
Nope.
Okay, so what are we at here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay, I got to kill three things. Okay, I'm going to kill my very subtle verb.
Yep.
Now, there's a global EQ in that?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to kill this post EQ.
Actually, I'm not 100% sure if there is.
All right, I'm still... Okay, the flanger I'd probably get rid of. Because I the wah and the distortion is kind of crucial, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'd kill the flanger.
Okay.
Or the delay. I think at that point, it's up to you.
I would, if it was me, because you and I, we don't like that delay as much, even though it does give Alex's sound, I would sacrifice the delay over the flange.
Okay. Then that's what we're doing.
Yep.
Here we go.
We did it.
Stopify.
That is awesome. All right, you know what? Save it.
So that gets you in the ballpark. So that's how it's done.
Dude, way to go. That was awesome. On the fly. You did a good job.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty close.
Yeah, I like it. There you go. You saw it right here first. That's pretty awesome. Absolutely fantastic. We still got about 10 minutes left. I want to ask you about this. So you're obviously along with endorsing a lot of great gear. One of them is Ernie Ball Music Man. And obviously, you know me from the other channel being an EVH nut. Did Eddie Van Halen have any kind of influence on you for choosing that guitar, or where did that guitar come from in your tone chasing?
Okay. It's backwards.
Okay.
That guitar got me into Van Halen.
Nice.
Because this is a funny story. I've told it a few times, but I love telling it. When I was 12, my dad got me, I needed a guitar. I was playing a Squire Tele that weighed like, you know, it felt like 12 pounds. And I was a little kid, and it just wasn't cutting it. And I was having a hard time getting around on the really big neck. So my dad, for Christmas one year, got me a John Lennon Rickenbacker because I was a Beatles freak.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a 3/4 scale neck. That guitar was everything to me. It had the neck. I think that guitar really shaped the type of neck I like because it has a very similar neck profile to just like that very rounded feel, like the EVH.
That's right.
So I really got attached to that. But then as I... You know, when you go through puberty and you get taller, your hands get bigger. And I felt like I was playing a toy.
Yeah.
And so what I ended up doing, especially as I got into like lead guitar, guys like Eric Clapton, I was obsessed with Eric Clapton. So I couldn't really play Eric Clapton on a Rickenbacker 325.
No.
So I would borrow my dad's guitar. He had a Les Paul 60 Classic. He actually had two of them.
Nice.
He had one that was a beautiful flame top. And he had one that was a little more subdued, and that was the one he let me play. And for like 3 years, I would just use that guitar. And, you know, I'd bring it to school with me. I'd go to band practice, play gigs with it, and I basically treated it like my guitar. Well, one day, I go to grab the guitar to go to school with it, and I say, "Dad, where's my guitar?" He goes, "No, it's my guitar, and I sold it."
Oh, no.
And I said, "What?" He goes... He goes, and here's the worst part. Later on that day, I went to band practice that night. He sold it to the other guitar player in my band.
Are you guys kidding me?
It's a true story. The thing is, my dad had a music store. He still has a music store. So my father's collection, he doesn't have a private collection. Everything he owns is fair game.
Yeah.
So if someone comes in and says, "You know, I'm looking for a 60 Classic Les Paul."
I got one.
He goes, "I got one. How much?" "Okay, done." And that's it. He's maybe attached to like one or two guitars, but like anything that's collection, he'll rotate in and out. He'd rather make the sale. So I went to band practice with my, you know, Squire, and then I see the other guitar player with the Les Paul, and I'm like, son of a, you know. So I would complain to my dad. I'm like, you know, why did you do that? Like, I was using that. He goes, "That was my guitar. You need your guitar." He goes, "Think about it. You only played that because it was here."
Yeah.
Because you don't really like – he said, "Okay, let me ask you a question. If you could have any guitar you wanted, what would it be?" I said, well, what I would really want is, I mean, I like the way that guitar sounds, the Les Paul, but I really prefer the neck on my Squire. Like, I like the Tele neck more. Mm-hmm. And I like the Les Paul sound. He goes, well, it sounds like you need something that will do that. You need something that has like a maple, rounder feeling neck and hot pickups.
Yep.
So we went to a bunch of his friends' store, because he didn't have anything in the store I really liked. We went to a, and he goes, you know what? I bet you you'd like that new Van Halen guitar. This is 1996 when this happened.
Yep.
Because I bet you, because they were new. And they were hard to get back in the day. So he made some calls. One of his friends had one in a music store. And I really wanted the blue one because I like the color blue.
Sure.
But he had the black one. And I was like, I don't like the color. And he goes, well, just play it. I played the guitar. I went, whoa. I said, this is exactly what I wanted. But the only weird thing is it had a Floyd Rose on it.
Oh, and you weren't used to that.
Yeah. My dad's like, oh, it has a Floyd. Forget it. I said, nah. I said, it's not going out of tune. And we rediscovered it. That's because it's blocked. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, I could deal with this if it's blocked. So, but I got so attached to that guitar and to the feel of that guitar that all other guitars became inadequate to me. Like every Strat I picked up, nope. Every Les Paul, nope. That neck spoils people, because if you have like, if you get used to that neck feel, there really isn't anything else like that.
It's like a nice pair of underwear.
Yeah, exactly. So that guitar really changed how I felt. And I like every guitar I've had since then has been measured against that guitar.
Nice.
Because I picked it up at such like a pivotal point in my life. And that was like the first guitar I ever like really, you know, thought about as when I got the Rickenbacker as a kid, I got it because I saw the movie Help.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, you know, John Lennon's the coolest guy ever. And he has that guitar. I want that guitar. It was like a hero worship thing. But the Van Halen, like I didn't really know anything about Van Halen at that. I was like, you know, I liked the Beatles and I liked Yes. I didn't know about Van Halen. I wasn't up to the 80s yet in my musical education. So So, you know, I said, oh, let me see what Van Halen's doing with the guitar. And then I heard, you know, Right Now. I'm like, whoa. And then I went back and started learning some Van Halen, because inevitably when you're a guitar player, if you're playing someone's signature model, they go, hey, play Hot for Teacher. So you have. So I ended up like backing into that Van Halen stuff. But recently I've become a little bolder with doing guitar modifications. I'm not afraid to do them.
Right.
So, for example, this is a Variax, a JTV 69. And if you'll notice, it has DiMarzio pickups in there.
Very nice.
Chrome. I voided the warranty and did them myself. But thankfully, I did it on Facebook Live. And Partev, he was on there watching me. He's like, don't do that. Do this. I'm like, oh, thank God that you're here. So he talked me through it like he was the bomb squad in my ear.
Don't cut the blue one. Yeah.
But I also shaved this neck down.
Oh, I remember you talking about that. Yes.
Yeah. And I've done that with a lot of guitars now. Like I've basically become fearless with mangling guitars. I don't care if I break a guitar.
Good.
Just because, like, why play something you hate?
Yep.
You know, why be uncomfortable? And this, and look, let's be honest. The neck on the JTV is really chunky. Mm-hmm. It's very chunky. So I had this shaved by a luthier, but then he got it about 75% of the way. And then I just said, you know what? I got the sandpaper out and just went nuts on this thing. And it's really comfortable now. It feels a lot like the Ernie Ball guitars that I have. And I did that with a Tele. I shaved down a Tele. Like I, you know, I got no problem doing that now. You might as well like the guitar. And everybody's going, what about resale? What about resale? You know, like, you know what? Like, so like maybe someone else is like me. And when I say, look, I slimmed out the neck. It's got a thinner neck. Maybe they'll say I was looking for that.
That's right. Well, I'm going to ask, you're going to be my mentor on this. I've been wanting to do the same thing, and no, I'm not going to do it myself. I'll take it to someone else, but I've got the 89F with the Floyd Rose, mm-hmm. and because I'm a Wolfgang guy, like yourself, basically, with your Ernie Balls, those pickups are hot. They're smoking hot, and I want to even go a touch hotter. I want to go with the new, I put out a new video the other day. I was the first one to broadcast it. Dude, Ernie Ball, sorry, Seymour Duncan Custom Shop Frankenstein pickup now. It's out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, built a spec, you can get a relic, whatever you want. And I've always liked Seymour Duncan pickups. So I'd like to order a couple of those, and I'd like to put them in the Variax. Now, Obviously, I know avoiding warranty and stuff like that. I don't care about that whatsoever. You think I could have that done? Two humbuckers?
This is the, okay, this is the thing, two things you got to look out for, and you got to ask Partev about this.
Okay.
You have to find, the pickups have to be the right ohmage.
Yeah, because you can send too much signal too, right? Too much.
Right.
Yeah.
With this guitar in particular, I put the tone zone in here, which is like essentially the Axis pickup. And with this one, it was so dark sounding in here. I had to go with a slightly less hot pickup, and that actually solved my problem. The other thing I would recommend doing, when I opened this thing up and I looked at the circuit board,
oh God,
I got really nervous.
I'll bet.
So what I ended up doing was sort of like a cheat. I cut the wires and I soldered the new pickups onto the existing wire.
That's kind of smart in a way. Yeah.
So I left the Variax electronics alone completely. And if I ever want to put the original pickups back in,
retrofit,
put the wires back in, just, you know, solder them, heat shrink them, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I did it. And I'm glad I did it because, look, there's nothing wrong with the stock pickups on any of these guitars.
No. Nope.
They sound fine. For me, it's an issue of basically going from, do I have it yet? Going from this guitar.
I love that guitar, by the way. Jeez.
Oh, thank you. I love it too. Going from this guitar to this guitar, the tonal change was way too drastic for me. It was like going from this to a Strat, but not in a good way. So I had to get a little closer to the way this sounds, especially for, you know, the Blue Oyster Cult gig. It's like I can't go from a very thick sounding guitar to a super thin sounding guitar. It screws with the front of house guy.
Yep.
It's no good. So I did this for myself. And also, come on, they're chrome. They look so cool.
They do. No, it's hot. Yeah, for sure. I saw a guitar you'd probably love today. It was on Ernie Ball's site, and it was a music or the Axis, and it was a bit of a tobacco burst flame, and it had,
yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about,
ebony neck and the
block big inlays.
Oh my God, was that beautiful?
Yeah, absolutely. I have something in the works now, for a new guitar. I might be going in a little bit of a different direction.
Okay,
something I'm working on with Federa guitars.
Okay, I don't know about the brand.
I've started a relationship with them. I'm still playing all my other stuff. That's, you know, mm-hmm. not going to change, but they're making something really special for me. So that's, I'm looking forward to sharing more about that when I can.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Yeah. Well, you know what we can do is we'll have you back sometime, maybe after NAMM. You and I are going to meet up at NAMM, which I'm looking forward to. We'll be camped out in the Line 6 booth. You'll meet my son. But I had probably about 10 questions that we didn't even get to today, which is a good thing. I love it when I have questions left over because I know that the show went well, and that just means we have to have you back. So we'll touch base at NAMM, and we'll
Absolutely.
Find something maybe February or March. We'll get you back and we'll continue the conversation. And maybe by that point, you can share a little bit more about the new guitar development as well.
I would love to do that. I'll come back on any time. Sundays are rough because of the gigging, but
I know.
I'm actually off this month, so it worked out really well.
I'll give you a whole block, and you can pick and choose from them, and whatever works for you, I'll slot you in for sure. But I just want to thank you, number one, for like not only for coming on today, but just being an inspiration out there for not only YouTube, for guitarists getting into techno gear, more techie gear, I should say, what I'm trying to say. And it's nice to have people in the community that are so inspiring and contagious to make you want to play and learn and not be afraid. And see, perfect example, not being afraid to tinker with your guitar. You might break it, but you're going to learn from it.
Burn it all down. Don't worry about it. You can always start all over again.
That's fantastic. Listen, this has been a great pleasure today. What a fantastic Sunday afternoon. And people are saying, why aren't you, when are you going to get Richie on the show? How come you haven't had Richie on the show? I'm like, guys, trust me, I want him as much as you do. But, you know, schedules happen. You got to play when you got to get paid. So we're blessed to have your time today. It's fantastic. And I hope you have a fantastic rest of your day. And any plans for as we wind down the last few weeks before the holidays? Are you doing anything special? Or
I'm working on a project. I'm trying to, it's basically a new album, but there's a little bit more to that. But okay. I've been taking this time off as a blessing because I've been writing music like every day.
Good.
And recording music. I'm in the demo stage right now. I'm a ways off, but there's going to be new stuff coming from me, original stuff soon. The doing the live stream has really given me a little confidence boost about my originals, which I was sort of like down the dumps about, but all the people on the live stream kept requesting more original material. So
Good.
I'm writing, so we'll see what happens.
I'm going to ask a quick question that's kind of related to that. In with the members changing here and there, different members coming and going through Blue Oyster Cult, were you in the band at the same time with Rudy Sarzo?
Yes.
Okay. So he said something one time. I'm sure it was him, and I'm going to give him credit for it anyways. He was on my show back on the EVH show. He had said something along the lines of, as a musician, you should be writing as much as you are practicing or playing. Is that something you agree with?
Yes, but he gave me a different piece of advice that altered my life trajectory. He told me, "Hey, what's on your YouTube channel?" I said, "Nothing." I took a couple of videos. He goes, "Big mistake." He said, "You need to have a YouTube channel," he told me. He's the reason I started YouTube.
Isn't that cool?
He goes, "If you're not on YouTube, you don't exist," he told me.
Wow.
And he got me hooked up with Sony for their video editing software, which I use.
Yep.
Vegas. He's actually a 3D animation and video effects guru.
Yeah. And he had some loops out there on Acid, the Acid program for the longest time, Sony Acid. Yep.
That's correct. So he's the reason I did. So all this YouTube stuff, I would have never gotten, maybe eventually, but he really pushed me into it. He goes, "A guy your age, you have to have YouTube channel, and you have to be making as much as you can on there." And he's the reason. I saw him. He hasn't been in the band for a while, but I saw him at NAMM last year, and I gave him a big hug. I'm like, "Dude, like, you changed my life with that YouTube stuff. Like, seriously, like, I it's such a huge part of what I do now." Yeah. And I'm very thankful for him and just the experience of you know, spending time with him. But, you know, you pick up stuff from every musician you play with. Like, mm-hmm. you know, playing with Buck Dharma and Eric Bloom, like, I learned stuff constantly. And I got to play with Kasim Sultan a couple of years ago. And everybody gives you their little, you know, piece of wisdom that forms you.
That's
and
right.
And then you hope that you can do that to other people and say something to somebody that, you know, makes them reevaluate something or gives them the missing piece of information that they always needed.
Just inspiration in any way you can do it. Just pass it on. And if someone gets inspired by that, it's worth it. Like, if someone comments on your video and says, you know, "Thank you, you made me do this, whatever. I'm so thankful." And it's a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling that sometimes is better than dollars, you know?
Yeah.
Than getting paid for something. It's much nicer.
Yeah, you know? It is. If you have a reputation of being someone who is, you know, a personable, you know, human who likes to help people, that's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure you're a lot like me. Sometimes you probably are dreading the fact that you can't reply to it. Like, I try my best in the morning. I take about an hour of my time, 2 hours. I'll just go through YouTube comments, like, every single one, as much as I can. I know there's going to come a day where I just can't. But until that day comes, I'm going to give my damnedest to make sure I do that. And people love it. And I love it, too.
Yeah, I get a lot of emails from people, and I try to help. But the biggest thing, and I'm going to say this now as a public announcement on your show.
Sure.
Guys, I don't have everybody's amp. I don't know how your effects loop works.
Yeah.
I don't know how your MIDI switching works. That's the thing. Like, someone will say, like, "I have this very specific amp and I can't get the heat." I'm like, I don't know. Like, unless I'm in the room with you, like, tinkering, I can't figure it out.
That's right.
So that's the only thing. And I feel bad about that because I've been in that situation. Like, why is this piece of gear not talking to this piece of gear? But my one piece of advice is read the manual. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of people, they... Like, I don't mind answering questions, and I'm sure you don't mind answering questions, but the first step should be read the manual, and then you get stumped, then you can send me or Eric an email. But don't send us an email first instead of reading the manual, because the manual is actually kind of important.
That's
and
right.
It's got stuff in there that you really need to know. So parting wisdom.
These manufacturers could save a lot of time and a lot of money in man hours writing these manuals. They're done for a reason. They're not done just as an addendum to your product. It's a very,
right.
very important. And I'm the first person to admit a lot of times I skip them, but there's a lot of important things that go into them. So check that out for sure. Listen, yep. This has been fantastic. 4:10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to say goodbye to you off the air. This has been an absolute pleasure. It's only going to be about a month, and we'll be seeing you a month and a little bit. We'll be seeing you in Anaheim. Cannot wait to finally meet you in person. And,
me too.
We'll maybe run into Rudy, and we'll say hi to him again as well, too.
Awesome.
All right, everyone. Have a fantastic Sunday afternoon. Be safe out there. Don't forget, we've got our 12 days of Rockmas starting on December 12th through December 24th. We're giving away something new every day, some really cool gifts. All you got to do is subscribe and watch for those videos. And until next time, cheers. Hey, EVH Gear TV and Eddie Van Halen fans. If you are like me, you find the time to read books difficult. Why not have it read to you? Grab one of three critically acclaimed Van Halen audiobooks, like Van Halen Rising by Greg Renoff, Running with the Devil by Noel Monk, or Everybody Wants Some by Ian Christie, available right now from Audible. Sign up for a free trial with zero obligation to get any one of these three audiobooks today. You can cancel if you wish after your trial membership expires and keep the book. There are many other great titles to choose from as well. Links in the description below, but just remember audibletrial.com/EVHCureTV. Click the link below and go grab your first free audiobook.
Thank you for listening to this edition of EVH and Gear TV. This episode is being brought to you in part by VanHalenStore.com. Shop VanHalenStore.com for the largest selection of official Van Halen merchandise and memorabilia. Be sure to check out our website at EVHGearDiscussion.com for more updates and follow us on social media.